hard to get into. The only way you're guaranteed to get in is win seven grand championships. You hold number seven and get in, which we've done that every single year. This is Travis Clark, world champion pitmaster at Clark Crew Barbecue, and I'm on the road with Dave at WGN.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio and on the line and on the road. Excited to have one of the top barbecue restaurateurs in America, multi-time world champion pitmaster, and the reigning champion of the Jack Daniel's World Champion Invitational Barbecue, the one and only Travis Clark. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, this is so cool because you are on the road and on the way back. Clark Crew Barbecue, you are the reigning champion. The Jack is back. You are back to defend your title. Talk a little bit about it. A lot of time to think on the road. Is there excitement, anticipation? What's going through your mind?
Yeah, I'm excited to get there for sure. It's going to be a different year. A lot of our friends aren't there this year. They're not having the international teams there this year, so there's going to be 30 or 40 less teams. But very excited to go.
Talk about that. As somebody who is one of the standard bearers for barbecue, is the Jack is different. You've won multiple world champions in other settings, but the Jack is different. Outside of being really, you know, you talk to a lot of the barbecue folks, the crown jewel of championships, it really does have a whole different flavor because of the international competition.
Yeah, the Jack has always kind of been people's pride. You know, that's the one everyone prides themselves on wanting to get to, because it's so hard to get into. You can, even though you win a contest, you know, you qualify. Like the American Royal, if you win one, you're automatically invited to go to cook the invitation. You get to go cook that world championship. It's huge, you know, that's why there's 500-600 teams at it. The Jack, if you win one, you just get a chance to get your name drawn. So they just draw one team from that state. You know, now you could have multiple teams from the state. Like, let's say if they drew a Kansas contest, and that happened to be one that I won, so I'd be in. Well, they would draw again for someone to represent the state of Kansas. You know, so they would have, there's a chance you could have two or three teams from there. But it's so hard to get into. The only way you're guaranteed to get in is win seven grand championships. You hold number seven and get in, which we've done that every single year.
Wow, yeah. So seven grand championships, that gets you in. If you win one of the other world championships, just a handful of competitions that are just huge that make a career, that gets you in. But Travis, that's an important distinction, right? It's kind of like the Masters in golf, where it's only the best of the best. And so even being able to compete in it is huge for these teams. Well, let's talk a little bit about the prep for it. So everybody's had a lot of time off specifically for the Jack. Everybody wants to raise their game. You have not been just sitting around. You've been, you know, doing all that work on the restauranting side, but there's a lot of prep that goes into the comp side. So as you ease more into the restauranting side, does the restauranting side, does that keep you sharp, or is it a totally different skill set? How do you prep?
You know, it's a completely different skill set, you know, from what we do, but it has its advantages. You know, I'm able to go in there. I don't use high dollar meat anymore. I mean, I don't bring in like compart ribs that are, you know, $50 a rack. I just sort my ribs right through the restaurant. So it's the same meat that I'm cooking. I started doing that this year, and hell, my scores got better. You know, just cooking regular meat, you know, and you think about it, you know, and a guy like you, you come down, I mean, what are you used to eating? Normal barbecue, not some fancy rib that you've never had before that tastes different. So I think it's something that's helped me. I think the restaurant's helped me with that. I thought it would give me more time, a little more freedom to prep, but we've been doing that till 2 o'clock in the morning, two nights in a row. So I don't think that really worked out that way.
You mentioned, and this is one of the things where people get together. It is like sort of the Super Bowl for barbecue, is you have all of those people get together in one place. You mentioned some friends are not going to be there, but many will be. Talk a little bit about the difference in that for the Jack, because it is, you know, it isn't huge. It's not 700 teams like the Royal, and it is in this isolated place. You know, it's right there in Lynchburg at the distillery. It's a very unique location. Talk about sort of that special vibe for the teams as you do see a lot of friends that you've missed.
You know, the thing I've noticed is their hospitality there is just unbelievable. You know, they're able to take care of 100 teams with 100 volunteers. You know, it's like each team has their own person. You never need anything there. The Jack just takes care of you. Their hospitality and just the kindness of them, they're just off the charts. They're just great people, you know, and I mean, you look forward to seeing them just as much as you do. So I'm not kidding. I mean, Jason and Pam and them, they're just great people. You know, you talk to them year long, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for Pam Hester, I'd probably never get signed up. She's that one saying, hey, today's the day to get signed up, turn your paperwork in. It's like, my bad, Mom. You know, so they just take care of you. You know, when you get to awards, they just go over the top. I think you've been there for that. I mean, they just,
for sure.
You got the light show, you got announcers. I mean, it's an adrenaline rush. It's the closest thing to a Super Bowl any of us barbecue teams ever get to.
So talk about that a little bit. And it is. And for the listeners that have not been there, that may never get there, that should plan that trip. It's an elite experience in every way, from the attendees, also, of course, to the teams. And so when you won, and this is a guy, and for the listeners, Travis Clark, acclaimed world champion pitmaster, you know, one of the best in the business. When you won the Jack last year, I was there standing just off stage. The listeners will see that picture at WGNradio.com today. What was it like? Was it like, oh my gosh, we've made it? Or was it because the restaurant was already in the works and plans? You're like, this is just so great for just everything that I've got put together. Did you think it was going to be the time to sort of step away?
You know, I had already stepped away. I'd cooked really good that year, and I quit cooking in July. And, you know, we were sitting really good in points that year. But with the restaurant, I knew I just had to step away and focus on that. So we quit cooking in July. As soon as I hit 7 wins, you know, we hit it by July to go ahead and qualify for the Jack.
Wow.
I stopped cooking, you know, and that was hard for me to do because I've always been a competition guy, and I pride myself on doing that. You know, to step away and just focus on the restaurant, and I truthfully wasn't going to go to the Jack. And my managers and everybody, I'm like, man, we're opening in a couple weeks. You know, we just can't. They're like, dude, just go. We got this. And I'm like, no, I'll stay. And everyone's like, you really need to go, you know, And a friend of mine told me, he says, you know what? He said, you're never going to win another world championship if you don't cook it. And I was like, well, that's true. And he's like, you're 0% chance of winning it if you don't go. I'm like, well, that's true. You know, so I loaded up spur of the moment, like usual fashion. I'm always the last guy to pull in, you know, and I rolled into that thing and we got called to win that thing. And oh man, it was a great feeling. You know, we should have truthfully won it in 2016. I had 3 amazing calls. They had the camera rolling on me and everything. And I was like, you pretty much have to put that camera away because we missed chicken turning. It wouldn't have took much. It would have just took one of my worst chicken scores of the year. I still could have won it. You know, it was bad, bad feeling. You know, missed it by 3 seconds. You know, my ex-wife and then were trying to get it turned in. It was just a little late, you know, and it happens. But I learned a lot from that.
There is so much to it. There's so much more than even just the taste. And for the listeners that have, you know, watched some Food Network and think it's 3 judges and they're all just, you know, deciding what happens. Nope, there's a system for the KCBS and all that. It's a lot of judges. There's a lot of moving parts. There's so much to it that goes into winning a championship and making history, which you did. So let's pivot a little bit to the restaurant. And talking with Jeff Crivello, a guy that we've known for a long time, Famous Dave has been a mentor to me, just a longtime friend forever. So you are in some really great company. And there are great chefs out there. There are great pitmasters that can do amazing things in the competition world, but it doesn't always translate to business or restaurant success. You have the number one restaurant in Oklahoma right now, and that is a huge testament to what it is that you're doing. But you had to sort of think outside the box, the 9x9 box, so to speak, right? Because the barbecue competition barbecue that judges will taste is maybe different than what people either expect at a restaurant. So if you could kind of share that, and was that sort of a battle for you, or did you know, hey, we've got to sort of broaden it?
Yeah, it's definitely a change, you know, and that's the one thing I felt like I was, you know, one of the best cooks in the world. You know, I mean, my numbers, my stats, my awards show it. But when you get to a restaurant, that's a totally different deal. You've got to dial that back and be able to cook more neutral food that offends no one. You know, when you're doing competition, you know, you're either turning in something really sweet or you got some heat to it. You know, you have something that's different. You know, you're trying to wow somebody with one bite. When somebody comes to your restaurant, you want them to sit down and eat half a rack of ribs. You know, my ribs in competition have so much seasoning on them and so much sauce. It's just, you know, you're trying to get them to get one bite and go, wow, that's amazing. You know, I want you to eat a whole rib of mine and go, yeah, that's good. You know, it's a totally different thing. Competition barbecue, nobody sits there and eats a whole rib. It's one bite barbecue. They're eating 6 people's, you know, they're eating 6 people's ribs, right, you know, in a row. 6 people. And then they're going to judge 6 pieces of pork and 6 pieces of brisket. You know, you need to be able to stand out past those people. But you also run a little bit of a risk of offending someone. You know, I mean, you have to sauce brisket, you know, anymore almost to win brisket. And I hate that. I have never sauced my brisket in my restaurant. You know, that's not what the normal person wants. But I learned in a restaurant, you know, you cook what the people want. You don't cook what you want. And in competition, I don't cook what I want. I cook what judges want and what wins. Now, what I cook at home and I want to eat, it is very, very similar to what I cook in my restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it shows, too, because all of those great and satisfied customers, I think, are a testament to doing things right. But here's the other side of it, too. And when you've got barbecue and some of those traditionalists and those purists, and they're like, and there are a certain amount of barbecue sides and other foods that can go along with it that make it into that team photo. But you guys, especially with that great sort of restauranting pedigree and team behind you, you've added other things in there. There's pizza, there's burgers, there's salads. I don't know if that's blasphemy, Travis Clark, but it's the kind of thing that you don't always hear about when it comes to that restaurant. Is it just being responsive? Was it, hey, this is something we want to add in? What was the thought process to make the menu just broad?
You know, we've changed the menu quite a bit, but we listen to our guests. You know, I mean, there was a need for meals. You know, I look at it, I'm a big barbecue guy, big meat eater. You know, that's what I do. You know, my wife said that, you know, 140-pound fitness girl loves going there. You know, you want to go out on a date, you want to take your wife out. You know, she wants something different. She wants to be able to get a chef salad. You know, so if that's what we do, now how can I put my spin on? Well, we smoke that turkey and we smoke that ham. You know, we make it the best chef salad you can. You know, we just try to find what the people want. And you listen, you know, and you just adapt to it and try to do the best you can for them. Because at the end of the day, your guest is the person that makes all the calls in the restaurant. You know, and that's something I've had to learn. You know, you cook it your way, and then you have to change it. You know, you have to change to kind of what they want. I think my brisket in the very beginning was a little saltier than it is now. I know it was. It's what we ran, and we had a few complaints that it was salty, and my base before I put down my brisket rub is salt and pepper, so I upped the pepper and backed off on the salt, and it's been, you know, an unbelievable seller for us since. But you know, you listen to the guest. Just because I like a little more salt like that doesn't mean everybody else does.
Let the listeners know we're talking with world champion pitmaster Travis Clark. He is on the way to the Jack to defend his world championship title. And those world championships, Travis, those may get people in the door. Those may be sort of that beacon, that advertising thing that says, hey, I got to try this out. I love his food. I love the trophies. I want to go there and check it out. Maybe make it a pilgrimage for barbecue fans. But once they get in, if you want to keep and retain customers, like you said, you have to be responsive. America has a love affair with barbecue. And so it is the kind of language that is spoken and appreciated across the country. In Oklahoma, it seems like, and you have the people behind you with Barbecue Holdings and Jeff, to go ahead and take this anywhere. Has there been any thought about that? You know, Famous Dave's has 180 locations. Do you see a Clark Crew barbecue in every major city? Are there some that you've targeted, you know, like early on? Like, what are the thoughts?
You know, we'll never be that big. None of us want to do that. I think it would be just too hard to do. What the way we cook barbecue and the way we do it is very hard to replicate. It's very hard to do. You know, I use offset stick burners and stuff in there. It's just that takes a talent to find someone that can run that pit.
Right.
There's a lot of things we do that way. But Jeff, you know, that's the one thing with him. He's got a vision, you know, and me talking with him is what made me a believer to even partner with him. You know, I mean, I believed in him. I believed in Dave Anderson. You know, these guys are passionate. You know, and I believed in that. And we will have more Clark Crew barbecues. We won't never be as big as Famous Dave's or nothing like that. You know, we hope to have 3, 4, maybe 10. I don't know. We've talked about doing another one in Oklahoma, and it's probably getting closer. It's just a lot, it takes a lot, you know. And I'm finally getting to my restaurant now where I can go to the Jack, get on the road like this, and I'm not just calling the restaurant 20 times making sure it's okay. I've talked to them twice. You know, it used to be a very, oh boy, here we go. You know, I hope they can hold it together. And I've got a team now that's just unbelievable. And they can run that thing without me there. And if they have a question, they call. You know, and I have 100% confidence in them. So that makes it easier. That would make it a little easier to have another place And we're just now getting to that point. It's taken almost 2 years to get to that point.
You mentioned it, and a lot of the things in the food world is universal, and there are restaurants everywhere. But in the barbecue world, you'll talk to some of those top chefs, and they have respect for pitmasters and what it is that they do on the barbecue side. Because even though it's so approachable and everybody loves it and feels like they can do it in their backyard, to do it at a high level, at the level that you do it, is, as you mentioned, you got to have some real talent. You got to be able to do it. You can't just bring anybody in there. And so in order to maintain that quality, it is going to be a slow journey and a careful journey. Well, the journey continues as you head to the Jack. And as we let you go, we want to wish you all the luck in the world. Is there anything that you're thinking of that anybody you're watching out for competition wise, or do you figure, hey, you've done it all before. Anything else is gravy as you get to the Jack.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not looking out for anybody. We just go down, do exactly what we always do. And more times than not, that's in our favor.
More times than not, he ends up being the last name called. It is Clark Crew Barbecue and the one and only Travis Clark. Travis, thanks so much for what you're doing. Good luck. Look forward to seeing you down there. And thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.